Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Hi, this is Christopher Lewis, and welcome to another episode of Dating Intelligence. I am here at the House of Cocotte here in downtown Los Angeles. They have been so kind to let me use their wonderful podcasting space. And if you guys, I'm telling you, man, this space is like a restaurant slash media room slash workspace. And quite frankly, you can do any event here. And so we are going to throw a lot of mixers here down for the future. But for today, this is my house today, the House of Dating Intelligence. So shout out to the House of Cocotte and to my wonderful producer, Connor Linderuth, for filming all this today as well. Now, I'm going to jump into my guest today because we have lots to talk about. It's great to have her on the show. My guest today is someone that has been in the dating and relationship space for quite some time and has been featured on numerous shows, magazines, and on stage on their best versions of themselves. Please welcome my dazzling co-host for the day, Kimmy Seltzer.
Wow, dazzling.
What's up, woman? How you doing?
Hello.
Hi.
So glad we're doing this.
I know. Like, we've known each other of, like, guys, just to let you know that I met Kimmy Seltzer last year, about a year ago, right?
Yeah,
a little bit over a year at PodFest in Orlando, Florida. And quite frankly, I'm going to tell you my story because I reached out to her on this Whova app thing before, like, you know, you actually get to PodFest. I just came up with it just now. I'll literally get there. And I was like, oh, look at that. There's someone from Los Angeles. She's a dating expert. Wow, I want to learn so much from her. And I was just like, nothing. Crickets. Ghosts.
Wait, you don't slide into a DM of Whova without any context. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? I didn't even know you.
I know. And it's like, you know, I get it. I always be on your guard, ladies. I get that as well. Don't let any weird guy slide into your DM. But it's Christopher Lewis here. I mean, I'm not weird. Look at me. It's kind of a fun time.
Now that I know you,
I know. True.
I will respond.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're
welcome. So anyways, we actually met because someone at this one of the after parties goes, oh my God, I know someone else is a relationship coach. And they just paired us together. And we were like inseparable that whole night. We stayed up like till what, 3 a.m. talking in the morning about just
stuff. Well, you did. I think I went on to 4 a.m.
That's so funny. You probably did. I think I was on stage the next day. That's why I was actually with my panel. That's why I actually had to get out there. And I gotta close this one down, girls. So
right.
I had to shut it down. I'm going to be bad news up on stage, you know, if I have to go up there and do that. So, but it's been a pleasure just knowing you, and we've become pretty good friends, and I'm just excited to have you on the show.
I'm so excited. I know we've been talking for a while to do a show together
because
I have my podcast, and you're definitely going to come on my podcast.
I would love that.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, I
think that this is the perfect time. You know, the year is winding down, and it's like there's so much more. This is the year of dating. I feel it's what, October now?
And it's cuffing season.
Okay, tell our audience about that.
Yeah, well, if you don't know what that is, it's like kind of gearing up for the holidays. People are in this frenzy of trying to find someone for the holidays. So there's a lot of dating happening. There's a lot of breakups, makeups, and checkups, you know, so it's like, it is, 'tis the season. So
I'd say more like check-ins. You'd have to check yourself to a psychiatric ward because some of the people might end up with like, why the hell did I do that? Mental breakdown.
Right. No, but it's a lot of clients have been coming to me and saying, oh my God, the apps are so busy right now and they're dating up a storm. And then dead. It'll be like flatline, you know? Right.
I feel like sometimes it's summertime, maybe. I feel like, unless you're probably like in high school and you know, the school's ending, you want that summer love, because I always call it summer. But you don't see adults having summer love. It's always like little kid shows and stuff.
That happens too. But I would say So now we see a lot of spikes. There's trends for sure. And there's research, not just me saying this. And then there's Super Bowl online dating. You know about that. Right?
Yes, I've heard of this. Yeah.
So this is the day after, this first Sunday after the New Year's.
Okay.
And then we see the biggest spike ever in online dating. And then it's, it cycles and seasons and around holidays. Yeah. And then we also see a surge right before Valentine's Day, right? Everyone's trying
to get on. Where I try to avoid that all the time. I'm like,
Do you?
Oh my God, I'm such not. I've said this 1,000 times on my show. Valentine's Day is made up by just whomever out there in the universe made
it's
it up. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for saying that, because I didn't want to say it, but you did, and that's okay.
Because it's not my show, I can say that.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, good. So, but my thing, it's like you should be loving loving that person all the time, and it's not just a day; it should be all the time. So that's why when it's Valentine's Day, I'm like, meh, I don't. I mean, I give a little something, but it's not like I go all out.
I think it's a mindset thing, right? It's all how you look at it, because you should always do that, and there always should be these little celebrations. But I think it just is kind of like one time when everyone can really say
something. It's overcrowded, though.
It is. I mean, it is. It's noisy. And yeah, I agree. But yeah.
Well, anyways, like I said, so let's talk a little bit more about cuffing season, because I know I was on a client call today, and I literally told him that I'd probably be talking about it today too. But it's that thing where I said, this is the time of year, right when fall hits, right before Christmas time, where everyone is just nostalgic about finding love because winter's about to come along and no one wants to be alone during wintertime.
I know, because then everyone hibernates.
Yeah.
And if you don't have anyone to hibernate with, it could be lonely.
Oh my God. Yeah. Let me think on that for a minute, Kimmy. Don't like the sound of that.
Right. Well, no. And actually, then it's time, to pull in. There's always, I think, time and place for, when you are looking for somebody. If you are not ready to look for somebody, or you're ready to just date, then that's great. But I think that you first have to be really intentional and understand what your mission is. When I'm working with clients, I often have them create a mission statement, like a business mission statement, but you have to help them get there. And a lot of times, really what they're trying to find is themselves. People come to me, help me find love, but in the end, they really do end up finding that love within. I know it sounds kind of cheesy,
but it's true. Yeah. I mean, that's
the
reason why they say you have to love yourself first. So, because it's like, how can you give off that to someone else if you're still feeling a little bit not in tune with who you are? And we've all seen relationships like that, because it's like sometimes you either get it a little too late and you're like, going, oh, they need to work on themselves first before we actually continue down this journey. So,
and without guilt,
Yes.
And here's the thing, dating without getting attached is a really important part of the process. And it's a different time in your life. And maybe you're a relationship person and you haven't really just had time to just date without getting attached. That's an important part. Really what you're doing is you're dating yourself.
Yeah.
Seeing what's right and what's not.
No, I love that. I'm kind of learning that a little bit right now.
Are you?
So, yeah. That's all I got to say. I won't get too much into it, but I'm learning that right now. Loving yourself is I realize it goes a long way.
It does.
I'm really starting to understand what I need actually a little bit more. So I'm kind of learning that a little more. That's to be continued on another subject matter though. So
we'll circle back to
that. Yeah, we will. We've talked about it all off camera, but it's all good though. Yeah. So I want to know a little bit more. I would love for you to explain the charisma quotient to our audience and what you do and what that means to you.
Yeah, well, gosh, I'll circle back to my story, but it really came from my hot mess. We always have our own story and why we get into what we do. I'll tell just kind of the professional side of things, and then I can backtrack into my story. But really, the charisma quotient came out of this notion that I believe there's an energy and a charisma that gets created that creates attraction, right? And sometimes it's often overlooked. And I'm a therapist, so I'm safe to say this. I used to believe that you had to work from the inside out. But because of my story, what happened to me, and now what I help so many others with, I flip the script and I work from the outside in.
Love that.
And so what the charisma quotient is working on three things. First, starting what I call style intelligence. And you and I talked about this, that you have dating intelligence. I love this. So I have a lot of intelligences, if that's even intelligent
We
word.
Have great IQs. I mean, it's all about the
say?
IQ.
Yeah, charisma quotient.
Who doesn't want a better IQ in life, right?
Right. Yeah. And this is a lot of quotients. Yeah. So it's style, which is how you dress, it's your body language, it's the just that kind of energy that you bring forth and how you market yourself, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Then I go inward and work on your emotional intelligence, which is, you know, how we express ourselves, the authenticity, the vulnerability, how resilient we are, our self-worth, but how we express that. And then the third pillar is your social intelligence. And yes, that includes flirting. So flirting is a big part of my business.
Okay, gotcha. Yes. I think people should be flirting all the time.
All the time.
Like, I think you should lead with the flirting and then go down the road, you know.
Yes.
You know, leave the emotional, let that be last. Maybe, style first for sure. Flirting for me, because like you said, you can't, if you don't feel good about yourself on the outside. And I appreciate you saying that, by the way, because I feel like what you've told me numerous times, and I see it in so many people, it's like, even if you're feeling it, lead with that, and that makes them feel good. And I appreciate that.
Well, there's a symbiotic relationship between the outer and the inner when it comes to confidence. It's mm-hmm. not superficial. Like, how we look on the outside directly impacts this. First of all, the signals that we send to other people, and that determines how we get treated.
Right.
So it's really important. And sometimes people roll their eyes and like, oh, that's so superficial. But, you know, I even did my TEDx talk was how mm-hmm. marketing yourself attracts love, because you could be the best person inside. You could do all this inner work. And believe me, like, I'm a therapist. I get it. Yeah. I did my own work. But at what point do you, you know, really put yourself out there and market yourself? Otherwise, you're in analysis paralysis, right? And you're just sitting there like, oh, I'm just doing the work.
Yeah.
But like, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, when you're not like putting action to it. And so if you are working from the inside and then you don't pay attention to how, you know, you present yourself, then love might pass you by.
Yeah. That's true. Good point. And I appreciate the charisma quotient. I think that's fabulous. So now,
and it's the name of my podcast. Or
yeah, guys, you got to check that one out, by the way, too. It's actually pretty, pretty good. And she's actually, you've been on a lot of different things. You're well seasoned. I look up to you. Like, you're super well seasoned. I love what you're doing. And it's very inspiring.
Thank you. Right. Well, I've been around the block for a while. There's been a lot of twists and turns. And, you know, if I can get to my story, because mm-hmm. I think it's really important.
I think I would love to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I was just a therapist for a really long time. I was living in Chicago. I lived a very traditional life. I had the picket fence, a couple dogs, and a couple kids, and the husband, of course. And I still have the kids, by the way, but you see where the story's going. So then what happened is we all picked up and we moved across the country. We plopped down here in La La Land, and we end up doing what everyone else here does, get a divorce, obviously,
right.
Like, insert joke. No, really. I mean, I like to blame LA, but it would totally would have happened anyway. But you know what?
It's okay. LA actually doesn't mind that because they're so used to it. So
yeah,
it's like, it's, you know, they'll accept that as a reason.
They'll accept that, right? No. Eddie, well, the thing is, you know, when you're removed from your kind of cushion and I was like in this insulated type of life, right? When I was removed, it was like everything just got clear. And that's when everything also like fell apart at the same time. And so there I was all alone in my new little castle, not knowing what to do with my new life. And I'm a therapist. Like, that's the kicker, you know? So I'm like, I should know this, you know? And so, that I did the work. I went to counseling myself. I rallied with my friends, yet still I couldn't get out of my own way. And if you had seen me back then, I did not look how I look now, wearing like bright colors and cheery. Mm-hmm. I was all in black clothes. I was wearing the nursing bras. I wasn't nursing any longer. And really, it just stuck in my mindset, in my clothes, stuck in my mindset. I called it my dark period. And my image reflected that. And I just remember looking in the mirror and saying, oh my God, like, what happened to me?
Yeah.
And that's when it hit me. It's like, you know, I need to do something pretty untraditional because all the traditional stuff isn't working. So nothing fit me because I lost all this weight. I hadn't seen my body because, again, I was like losing myself. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go shopping. And everything was black in my closet, you know, maybe a splash of beige. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go shopping. I'm going to feel better. And I think I'm up leveling myself, right? I'm buying all black, new black clothes
but all trendy. All black. You're like, no, it's all trendy. At least
it's trendy. Yeah, right?
Let's say I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm doing good. And this personal shopper, she's watching me and she's like, ma'am, I've been watching you and I really think you should try this on.
Love it.
And she holds up this red dress that I thought was three sizes too small. And I said, that's really sweet of you, but that's not my color and that's not my size. And she's like, honey, that is your size. That is your color. Try it on. And it was like she hit me over the head with that red dress. I call it my red dress moment, okay, where she knocked me down. And when I came to, I was like, wow, I do need to do this. I need to try this on. I need to feel differently. So I squeezed into it and I twirled around like Cinderella and bam.
That was it.
I saw myself.
Yeah, wow.
Like for the first time in a really long time.
I'm really glad that you're open to actually seeing that as well.
Yeah, but you know, and you probably deal with this a lot too. It's like maybe 3 months prior to that moment, I don't know if I would have
you
been
wouldn't
open
have seen
to
it.
That.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have heard her and I would have seen that. Like you have to also be ready, but I was so ready. And I bought that red dress as a costume. I called it a costume because I still didn't believe it, right? And I'm going to go out and I'm going to marinate in it and I'm just going to like own it, right? And so, I mean, and I did. I went to the coffee shop. I went to the grocery store.
So
I went to the dog park. Mm-hmm. Like I really wore that red dress. And here's the surprising kind of story from that. I noticed men noticing me and I didn't like it.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? And that surprised me. I was like, wow, this whole time I was wearing those black clothes as a cloak.
Yeah. It was a camouflage. It just made
to keep me invisible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was scared of you alien men. Like, I didn't know. I mean, last time I, like, talked to men, I was, like, in college at a toga party. Like, I had no clue what to do. And also just that fear, that confidence that was shattered. So that was the first thing that I did that I had to get used to being seen.
Yeah. And I can understand the scary part because it's, like, it's a new, like, this new thing that's happening to you, and it's exciting, but also, and also what I like to say is the fact that you're probably thinking like, what does this mean for me now? You know, like, what does it mean in a way of like, oh my God, it's like, this is wonderful, but it's like, you're ready for it, but it's like, it's almost like you're fresh, you know, like, and it's new and it's different, but you have to get, like you said, it's seasonal. You have to really learn how to now become that person now.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. I like the word costume. So often I'll call it a dating costume, you know, when I do makeovers, because, you know, then I got into being an image consultant because I saw the power, and like you do too, like saw the power of what we wear and how that interacts with our body language. Because I started standing a little taller, slowing down my walk, you know, as I'm wearing my heels, you know, and it all started working together. And that's when I really realized, gosh, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're working on yourself, if you're scared and you have a hard time putting yourself out there, then like you're going to miss opportunities, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, I have many other stories from there, but that's really was kind of my
But that's your origin story of how
it
you
is,
became who you
my
are
hero's
today.
Journey.
So yeah, I love that. And it's important because especially with our, like with my audience and things as well, I mean, the reason why we do what we do is because it's like, we want to let people know that, look, not everyone's in the same boat, you know, like I am in it, you're in it. It's like, mm-hmm. it's nothing. It's always evolving.
Yeah.
And there's always moments of like even I can say right now, like there's a moment I'll go out. Right. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm not feeling my best. And I know inside of me that whether I'm wearing something that's just not, you know, I'm just feeling a little not really into it. Right. And I walk out and I feel like that the whole night.
It affects you.
It does
right?
affect me. Like I feel, and people just walk past me. And it's a very interesting, I guess what I'm an experiment mm-hmm. to do that. So people, you out there, if you, let's say you're on all the time, right? Try to wear something a little lesser than just something I'm talking to them, like throwing down, like high fiving, going after parties, whatever it may be. They wouldn't even recognize me.
Well, there's research that has been done on this. It's not just like in our heads. There is a term called enclothed cognition.
Mm-hmm.
They found that there's a shift that goes on in the brain when you wear certain things and your performance goes up. So this definitely isn't just, again, superficial stuff.
Right.
And if you think about it, there's so many things in life that takes a long time when you're working on yourself. This is instant. And
right.
it's such a direct hit into like your internal confidence too. Because when you're getting
definitely.
That feedback,
yeah, for sure.
it does. It gives you that confidence to be out. I remember there was this woman, she was just petrified to be seen. And I mean, she was, you know, definitely like rusty. We'll just say that because she hadn't dated at all. And she was getting back out there, but she didn't want to wear loud colors because she was worried
and
about
as
being
in
seen.
Loud, something that's just a little bit brighter.
A little bit brighter,
right.
Red, pink. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you're a woman listening to this, definitely wear red or pink because guys are highly attracted to it. But anyway, so I said to her, let's just go to the restaurant and practice wearing red dress. Just, you know, I wanted her to have her red dress moment. And she literally was having like panic attacks before we were walking in. And I said, it's okay. Like, you know, you have to start somewhere. Yeah. We walked into the restaurant and she then just noticed men noticing her. And I said, deep breath. You know, I was like taking her through the process. And by the end of the night, I think I created a monster. We had like guys around us.
Oh, that's great.
But, right. Like, and then from there, she could do it on her own. Good. It was like anything else. And I always say, that's why I call myself a strategist more than a coach these days, or a therapist, because I just believe that people need strategies to break old habits.
This is why I love you, Kimmy, because like, see, I love you. You say like, you're not a coach, you're just a strategist. And I like using the term, I'm a dating concierge. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's
like,
I love that.
I just want to direct people where they need to go. Well, it's like, I'm not going to answer your questions for you. I'm not going to give you the answer.
Yeah.
My job is just to steer you in the direction where you, I feel like you already need, you want to go to. Like, you want to go to Disney World, you want to go to Six Flags. You're a Disney World person. Why would I send you to Six Flags, you know?
It's like, great.
Yeah. So
it's like also, as anybody who is a mentor or giving people, you know, hope, it's like you're the flashlight, but it's up to the person to walk through the light, right? Like, you can show them the way.
Don't walk into it, people. Just walk through it, okay?
Right. Unless there's an obstacle right there.
It's like, what was that? Yeah. I can't
say. Well, that's when you know you stop.
That's so funny. Let's get them out of the dark.
Put them into the light, exactly. For sure.
So this holiday season, the last thing I want to do is worry about what I'm going to have for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I mean, it's bad enough that I already have to spend enough time trying to figure out what I'm going to get for gifts for my friends and family. So that's why I decided on Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service, which delivered right to your door. I mean, guys, these ready-to-eat meals are literally ready in 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat and enjoy. Treat yourself to high quality, delicious meals over the holidays. You can choose from 35 plus chef crafted meals every week that's supported by a healthy lifestyle and meets your meal preferences, whether it's calorie smart, vegan, and veggie. So for myself, I usually go for that high protein plus, because when I'm getting off the tennis courts and running right into my dating coach stuff, I need that extra energy to keep me going for the day. And I'm really, really happy that I chose Factor. So this holiday season, instead of figuring out what you're trying to eat, head to factormeals.com/dating50 and use code dating50 to get 50% off. That's code dating50 at factormeals.com/dating50 to get 50% off. And instead of figuring out what you're trying to eat for every meal, you can figure out what you want to do with your friends and family this holiday.
Right.
Well, I love your story. I love what you do. And like, I'm just thank like, you. It's fascinating. And it's rare that I actually have another dating coach or relationship expert on the show, because it's like, I just love hearing new and different approaches, and that's why I'm always open to new and different things. And so, but what I want to get into, which we'll talk, and this is all of what we're talking about today, people. So today I have Kimmy Seltzer as my guest host, and Jamie Villamore, I love you, but we're in LA and I just had to get some episodes in because I know you've been crushing it overseas in Europe with your work. So anyways, but we're going to get into our topic episode today, which is exactly what we're talking about right now. And so, guys, today's topic is called dating momentum. You just started dating someone and you know you both like each other. Now let's keep the momentum going. How do you do that? Let's talk about the steps to keep the fire alive and moving forward.
I love this topic.
Right. And it goes along the line, because now that even the woman that you were talking about, one of your clients going into the restaurant with that new dress on, where now she's around guys. Now it's like, let's talk about how to keep the momentum alive. You know, you meet someone, you know, and I'm talking, let's say after date number two, because let's be honest, right? Mm-hmm. After the first 2 dates, you're still kind of sized up, even if you want to be on the third date. And so let's say you get to the third date. Let's talk from there on and see how people progress and how they move into a relationship finally.
Well, I would even entertain is, how do you progress in each phase of these datings, right? Because so I always talk about three phases of dating. People talk about phases in relationship, but there are phases in dating. To your point, like the first phase I call courting, right? That's the cat and mouse chase. Oh, it's so fun, right? But some people hate it.
I don't know why.
Right? Yeah. Well, because, it's easy for you. usually we know that. But here's the thing, like the phase that you're really good at is usually like then in the other phase is more challenging. It's just figuring out like what is more challenging and why, you know? So that's the first phase, like what you're just talking about. Like how do you progress to the date, and then how do you keep it going for a couple weeks?
Let's settle on that. So let's use your three phases and we'll use that as our guideline then for the dating momentum.
Perfect.
All right. So let's talk about the courting phase, which I feel like it's like, and I'm surprised people don't, I mean, I understand why people don't like it, because it's scary. It's new. It's different. You're nervous. You're excited. You have your checklist. You have your non-negotiable.
People who maybe you're in your head a lot. Maybe you're, you know, like kind of a little more left brain, analytical. Right. You're thinking about what to say. And that gets really hard in this phase because you're thinking too much. You're going at an interaction in a cerebral way versus a playful way.
Okay.
So people who have a hard time just being playful and having fun really have a hard time in this phase. So that's what I love teaching people to do, because when I do like wing girl sessions, I'll go out and teach people how to just have fun.
Okay.
I know it sounds so elementary, but... You know, that's why I love kids, right?
Good.
Like you watch kids who maybe 4 or 5 years old. I know you have kids. Remember, they just, they go through life. They don't hesitate. They don't have filters. They see, you know, little Johnny in the sandbox like, hi, what are you doing? They don't like wait and say, oh, I shouldn't approach Johnny. He looks really busy and blah, blah, blah. Like, but we develop filters as we get older. And so for some of us, maybe it's because we've been hurt.
Okay.
Right. And so there could be like you're in your head because there's fear, like you said.
Coming out of something long term or whatever it may be.
It could be that you never really learned it. You are more like you got reinforced to be more cerebral, you know, and maybe that's something. There's a lot of different reasons. And that's why as a therapist, I always like to like look at people's histories because it's not cookie cutter, right? Like there's different reasons. But whatever like the backstory is, it's first being aware of that, right? Like that's kind of the first step. But then it's the action piece. Like what are some small things that you can do in those phases to practice so that you feel good? Like for me, it was the red dress, right? And when I talk about flirting, I have like I do a lot of flirt workshops. I kind of have this like little formula that I talk about, and one of it is definitely having that dating costume on.
Okay.
Like when you're prepared to go to a date, like you want to walk in feeling amazing
in
that outfit.
Right, because if you're feeling anything less than, it's like it's not only going to, you know, your wall's already up at this point, let's say, and your energy's low, and the other person that you're on this date with is now going to be like, oh, he's going to, he or she will sense that.
Yep.
And you've already lost half the battle. The percentages go down from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're in your head and you're feeling fidgety, like you were saying the other day when you weren't like feeling good in your outfit, like that affects you.
Right. Oh, I was going to say the other day when we went out to go to drinks, I was like, I was on cloud 25, girl. If you could raise that Richter scale up, I was on fire. That's another story, people, tonight too.
Yes.
From walking in to sitting down with the hostess, remember? You're like, I mean, it is my show, Kimmy. That's all.
It is. You could do whatever. I'm in your house now. I'm just taking your lead, honey.
That's funny. It's always Jamie. I go, it's my show. I'm talking about me. Or best foot forward.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I always say, like, even before, like, get your game on by having a little bit of kind of a playfulness time before you even walk in the room. I always talk about a little like date prep plan. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you make a playlist that has your favorite songs.
Love that.
You're
love
like
that.
Dancing, getting in your sexy, you know, whatever you can do to get into your body and out of your head is crucial.
Right. Love that.
So then you're walking in, and if you're a woman, you know, just kind of exuding that fun, feminine, sexy energy. If you're a man, that alpha, strong energy.
Walking with confidence.
Yeah. And that's so much of what I work on with people because if you can't get that down, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And then you sit there and you're getting in your head and you get more nervous.
Right.
And then,
that
you know.
Sinking ship. That ship is sinking.
Sinking. Yeah. And it's, that's the thing is that it layers upon itself because like it, if you're not feeling good going in, then you're in your head, then you might say something dumb, then you might like your body language might be a little anxious, you know, that kind of thing. So body language is huge.
Right. Now may add, because I always talk about the flip side of things. So let's just say that talk about someone who's feeling that way, anxious, you know, a little whatever. There's always, if you do it well, and by doing well, own it, I'm a little nervous, it comes across just genuine at that point, authentic. And so that's okay. What she's saying is like, we want to put our best foot forward, but let's just face it, anything new, you're not going to come in fully like, yeah, I got this. You know what I mean? You know, you're going to be nervous. Everyone's nervous. I'm sorry, because it's a new person. And even if you've met this person, which you might have out at some social event or some party or through a friend, you're still going to be nervous.
I love that vulnerability and authenticity that you just said. And I'll tell people that too. It's like, if you make a mistake, just like own it.
Right.
Like just
smile,
say
about it.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
Like cut the thickness out of the room.
Right. I was working with this woman and she's like, oh, she's like, I just get so nervous when I walk into a room. She had a lot of like social anxiety. And she's like, it just seems like everybody knows everybody. This wasn't even a dating situation, you know, it was just more like a social situation. And I said, well, what if next time you go, you just say that? I'm like, how do you feel? She's like, well, I feel like I'm in junior high. I'm like, that's an awesome line.
Yeah, it's a great line.
What if you just said, like, right. sometimes when I come here, I just feel like I'm in junior high all right. over again.
I would be
we all
my
understand
ass off.
That, mm-hmm. you know? And so, it's yeah, I love that you said that.
Okay, well, that's great. All right, so now that the date is going on, you know, we're mixing it. We like each other. You know, these yep. two people going out and it's like, hey, second date happens now. So your levels should hopefully be a little more elevated at this point. You know, because like, you know, not second guessing yourself. Let's say you like this person, the other person likes you, and you know what the energy was there. And the second date, you're excited to go on that second date. But so with momentum, keeping it moving forward,
yeah.
once again, now you should, I feel like you should be elevated a little bit more because I'm sure you've probably hopefully talked this person a couple of times in between the first date and the second date. Or hopefully, as I like to say, hey, that second date's the next day. That's great.
I love it. Yeah.
That's great because it's keeping the momentum going. And yeah. I feel like everyone has different speeds on how they want to pursue their, you know, their significant other, whoever they may in the dating space. But I feel like if there's momentum going, mm-hmm. I feel like don't stop it. Do not stop at all costs. Because if the other person is open to moving forward in that direction as well, keep it going. See where it goes.
Yeah. And you mentioned something that's really important. I think in order to build momentum, like we're also talking about pacing, mm-hmm. matching and pacing too, like where that other person is at. There's a difference between being friendly mm-hmm. and just having a nice conversation when you're on a first date. And flirty.
Yeah.
And so if you're wanting to build momentum and you want to like have that second date, there's got to be some sort of indication that there's interest.
Yeah.
It's not
Thank
enough.
Thank you very much. I agree.
There is not mm-hmm. enough to just say, oh, well, that was a nice guy.
Right.
That was a nice
girl. And leaving the person wondering and now you're both losing that steam.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And there's got to be that build. I mean, it's like foreplay, right? Like
yep.
you have to build to that. Otherwise, that's when you walk away and say, you know,
yeah, have time to think about it.
The
yeah.
chemistry.
Oh, that's the
that's
worst.
The worst. Oh my right. God.
Unless you really don't want it. Unless you really don't
no,
want it.
No, but if you're listening to this and you get this a lot,
yeah.
like that's a pattern,
yeah.
right? Like
and
once,
it is.
Okay, twice, three times.
Right.
You're
and
the
this,
common denominator.
And you're right about that. I was talking yeah. to a dating client about that about a few weeks ago. We were having a conversation about it. And I asked him, I said, so can I ask you something? Because he always fell flat after the second date. And I mm-hmm. said, let me ask you something. I go, when you're on that first date, let's go with the second because he's got the second date. I go, when you guys are walking out, I go, do you ever like, you know, try to kiss her or, you know, try to make, you know, flirt with her a little more, make a move, maybe extend the date along? He goes, you know what? He goes, not really. And I go, this is why you don't have a third date because yes. the other person has no idea how after the second date, if you're still not, you know, at least like you said, flirting or giving some indication that they're going to sit there and assume that you do not like them. In
yes.
theory, right? Or they're not interested or whatever it may be. And now they're losing interest now. So you're out now at this point now. There could be a recovery probably if you were honest about it and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry, da, da, da. But for the main point, it's like,
it's not that, you know, he's like, there was this guy, he friend zoned
okay.
all the
yeah.
time. And probably like the guy that
yeah.
you're talking
yes.
to.
Yeah.
And come to watch him when I was like, you know, out in the field with him, I saw exactly
okay.
what was going on.
And you can
on.
See where that starts failing, right?
Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily even the words he was using, but it was the way he was talking. So tonality is considered like a non-verbal. It was fascinating. So again, body language is probably the biggest indicator of, you know, like moving on and progressing that momentum. 100%. Because people will ask me, I don't know if they ask you, like, what line can I do?
Okay.
And my answer is always like, I'm not giving you a line.
Yeah,
I don't even know what that means.
Sorry.
No, there's no lines here.
Right.
right. So first, I ask the question about body language.
Okay.
Like, where are you sitting? You know, in proximity of the other person? Is there light touching? Is there, you know, it's all those things, the nuances. And he did this weird thing where every time he would talk to a beautiful woman,
okay.
he would take his right hand and he put it across his body. And hold his left hand like this.
Oh, like, yeah, deflecting all the energy and, like, really feeling, closing himself off.
Yeah, but it
yeah.
also looked, like, anxious
yeah.
and weird. And he did it once. I'm like,
Okay.
And he did it twice. I'm like, And then did it three times. I'm like, okay, Doug, you got to talk. like, this is weird. Like,
yeah.
do you realize that you're doing this?
Right.
And he had no awareness. None.
They're nervous tics, and they're tics that become a part of who we are. It's like when we speak and you say a lot, or which, you know, I sometimes do that. So I have to catch myself. But it's a learned skill that you practice to get out of.
Learned and it's learned habit.
Yeah. So yes. People, you can get out of these sort of things. I would like for everyone out there listening to this right now, I would love for you to really think about what nuances you have, what tics you have whenever you're doing. Like when I actually, it's funny when I'm on, like when I'm doing this, if you watch me on air,
yeah.
I do this a lot right here. But it's my, like, I do this when I talk all the time. Like, I'll put my arm here, but it's a gesture because I use this hand.
Right.
And I don't use two hands ever. So mine's always with one hand. So I
keep, that's
interesting. And I know that, this. Because it almost keeps me from, like, you know, doing this. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's like, restrain yourself, Christopher. Restrain. So, but.
Well, here's the crazy thing is that we, like, with this guy, we went back to his childhood and he remembered, he had a really demonstrative mom.
Okay.
And he remembered every time that she would reprimand him, he would do that.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was something about being in the presence of a powerful, beautiful woman that put him in that state.
Okay.
And so we just got rid of it.
So when you told him that, it's like, how long did it take him to actually realize that that was the reason why?
Well, because then as we were doing more approaching.
Yeah.
It like it hit him. It's like, oh my God, I'm doing it again. You know, okay. It was great because first is the awareness piece, right? That's the first step. Mm-hmm. But then it was the correction and like, just don't do that.
Okay.
You know, next time, like maybe put your hand in your pocket. Like we had to do a correction around it. And then he started just doing it again and again and again in repetition until then he's just started being more comfortable in the body. And the approach became so much easier.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
he really became good. Like, really confident. Yeah. He started talking to pretty women. It was like this little habit or tick. He has now a great girlfriend.
That's amazing. I think everyone, just like therapy, I feel like everyone needs coaching in whatever aspect you're doing. And dating is no different than that. You know, I feel like, as we all know, people only spend probably 5% of everything that they do in the dating is some sort of statistic that way. I mean, we spend more with work and working out and some, like maybe even health versus finding love. That's a match, you know, and we spend a little time with doing that. And so it's like, and when you're out there, guys, in this space, and if you spend just that little bit of time, like 5 to 10% of your life or, you know, of your, let's say, practice, you're not going to be good out there in the space at all.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's why, too, I always tell people start really small because it can be overwhelming and daunting to feel like, oh, I just have to put myself out there. Oh, I got to get out there and date. You know, that's when people stay put. You know, because they're overwhelmed. That's why, like, New Year's resolutions, most, like, what is it, like 6% of the people really do their resolution because everyone's shooting themselves way too far.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to lose weight. Well, all right, it's better to say, I'm going to lose 2 pounds by doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, that's
and
a great
dating
one.
Is the same thing. So if flirting is really hard for you, I tell people, don't say to yourself, I just got to get out and flirt. Say, okay, well, for the next 2 weeks, I'm just going to make eye contact with people of the opposite.
Yes, I love you to say that. Yeah,
because you will miss so many opportunities if you don't slow down and really take a look around.
Yeah, but it's not like you said; it's not easy. The first time that you did it, you know, you were in your dress and it made you nervous. But that's okay.
Yes.
It's almost like saying, you know, when you see someone across the room and you look, but then you both look away, but then you've got to look again, right? Because if you don't. It's
that's the 3 second rule.
Yeah, that's
you know
right.
That.
And I know this. And this is something we've discussed as well. So, but it's true though, right?
Yeah.
It's like you always want to know. And sometimes it's like they don't, but it's an art form and it takes time and it's not easy. I mean, that 3 seconds that you're talking about, it's not easy. It seems like it's like an eternity.
No, but the only way you're going to get over those fears or out of your head is to do it in repetition.
Right.
So, like, you heard me. I went to that, I was in that red dress literally everywhere. And it was super uncomfortable, but no one changes in a state of comfort.
No.
You only change in discomfort. So that thing that you get in your belly or that thing you get in your head, that's good. Like, go towards it, not away from it.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's an art form. But like I said, guys, if you're feeling, and also I love to say this, if it feels right to you, then it's right. You know, you just got to go with your gut sometimes. You got to go with the feeling. You got to let, you know, go with it. And I appreciate you saying earlier, just a minute ago, on how start small. I was actually telling a client before we started podcasting, that's exactly what we were talking about. I said, look, I'm hearing that you love, you know, you like restaurants, you like doing these sort of things. And he's social. He's still, you know, he's a social introvert, let's say, right?
Oh,
he'll go with this brother or something like that, but he doesn't, and I could tell he didn't like the big spaces. So what I said, I go, look, I'm hearing that you love you know, restaurant. So you're a foodie and you like drinking craft beers and things like that. So I go, so let's do this. Here's your homework for Thursday. And I said, and when I'm having a call on Thursday, I go, but I want a text from you on Thursday. I want you to find three restaurants that have a decent happy hour. And now I go, now, mind you, I'm not saying a big, loud place that, you know, that might scare you off. I want something that you feel is at your speed, something that you can handle. Great. And he goes, okay, that sounds like a great idea. So I go, well, who can you? So he goes, I have a coworker. He always tells me the hot spots. I go, well, remember, find something that, and after you, he gives you three or four, look them up. And I told him that once you send them to me, I will research them. And I will know if they are hot and or if they're just your speed. But I want you to start slow for you. It might be different from someone else. So I highly agree with that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's where his confidence is. Like if you pick a place where you feel comfortable, that's going to like dissipate some of that anxiety going in.
Right.
Like people who hate the bar scene, right? Like that's not a good idea to practice
flirting. Or nightclubs or whatever it may be. Yeah. You know, it's like you're not into that. So why do that? And I know it's like, you know, and I told him, I go, just go with what you feel. I don't care if it's like, you know, farmer's market, wherever you feel the most comfortable, that's where you should start from and start looking around, talking to people, like you said, do all this and it helps.
It's so important to practice these skills. You know, a lot of times I'll ask people, well, you know, again, like, what are you looking for? You know, what's your dream? What's your magic fairy dust in 3 months? And, you know, when people say, oh, I want a boyfriend, I want a girlfriend, I want my soulmate. I'm like, that's great. And how are you going to get there? What skills do you think you need to learn in order to get there? Right. And there's always this dramatic pause.
And that look up to the right?
Yeah, the look up to the right. Yeah. Oh. As they're accessing and downloading that vision. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I never thought about that before. It's like, well, right. Like, what do you see? Like, who do you want to be when you walk in the room? Who do you want to attract? You know, and for those like shy women, I'll say like, do you want to be that like Jessica Rabbit where you're just like walking in like you mean it? And most people have that desire to feel attractive, you know? I'm like, just start there. The rest can happen.
Yeah.
And it will happen. Yeah. It always does. But start small.
Right. And once again, like we said from the beginning, like you said, it will happen. But it's everyone has their own speed, their pace that works for them.
Yes.
There's no time frame. There's no, like you said, no fairy dust that's going to say, why are these people getting together faster and they worked for years versus us? It took us a long time. Sometimes even the friends, like we have a lot of friends, all of a sudden you meet people like, wow, we finally connected and they didn't even know it. And they've been friends for years.
Yes.
So there's all these different opportunities, guys, out there. You just, first and foremost, like Kimmy said, you just need to be aware of yourself, first of all. Be aware of your space. Allow yourself just to experiment to see, push your boundaries.
For sure. And I'm glad you talked about different pacing for people and the momentum. So going back to like your original question is that, you know, people ask you, it's like, well, what is the timeline? Like how many dates should I do before I kiss or how many dates before sex? And I always say, I have no answer. Yeah. I am not a black and white person because we're all in different timelines. Like one person's journey is going to be different than the other. So your pacing might be different.
Right.
Somebody coming out of divorce is going to be in a very different place than somebody who's like 25, right? Who has never been married, that kind of thing. So I think it's really important to first get to know where you are in that continuum before you figure out like how fast. And there's people who've had sex, you know, date two and have been married for
a long time. Right.
So there, it's not the hard rules, but you have to know yourself.
Yeah. Know yourself. And remember, if it doesn't feel right to you, then just slow the brakes down because don't do it because everybody else is doing it, you know, but I do appreciate experimenting different levels of things. You know, like
it's
like, if you do have a one night or, you know, don't bash yourself for it. People, I always say, if you have a one night stand, don't feel guilty. Just enjoy it. Be in the moment. Or if everyone's got their own journey. Just enjoy your journey that you feel is right for you. Because once again, you're not only gaining experience, you're getting a point of view of what you like and what you don't like. And that's the most important thing. You know, nothing worse than someone being and someone going, I don't know, I just like what they like. It's like, well, what do you like? I don't know, I just want to do what they want to do. You know, it's like, don't be a yes man. So
that's horrible. It's a horrible place to be. Oh my God.
This is why I challenge girls from the get-go, like right from the start. I'm like, I don't want a yes man. I want someone who's kind of like fiery, someone who's like, and I want to be back to you. Yeah, yes. just right back at them, you know, and because now you got that push and pull, but that's where the energy and the spark start happening.
But that's the thing that builds the momentum.
Yes, it does.
Because if it's vanilla and it plateaus, right? Like, okay, so let's talk about the second phase.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Because after the courtship.
Is it vanilla?
Well, so many people have vanilla, although I do like vanilla, I'll be honest. I'm not even a chocolate person, but it depends how you sprinkle the vanilla ice cream with. You know, it's how you, like, progress with that person.
Right.
So, like, if you're in the phase of, let's say, 3-4 months in, 5 months in, and it's pretty solid, right? Maybe it's not committed yet, but it's pretty solid. Never stop flirting.
No.
Never.
Agreed.
Never let your guard down, because then that is also when a lot of, like, people end up having trouble. They start guessing whether or not that person likes. That's when everyone starts getting in their head too.
Yeah. Well, I'll go one step further. I always say that, look, I go, if you have questions about that phase, let's say the 3-5 month phase now that you're speaking of.
Right.
It's a muddled, like, it's a gray area.
Let's just be honest, it's a gray area.
Because some people, that's something that drives me freaking bonkers, man. I'm like, fucking hell, man. Just ask the questions and just kind of just, in this way, you know what to expect, or at least what's going to happen at this point.
Just ask. Talk. No, I know, because, like, people will say, why? I think this or that. Well, so women, I mean, and I'll throw our species under the bus. Like, we talk in story. We're always, like, wondering and thinking, you know. But, you know, men are more direct. You're more simple in the way that you think. And it's like,
man,
right?
Like, that was a dagger.
Well, but it is. Yeah. It's true. Like, and
that's her opinion, people. She allegedly saying that.
I feel, just because I've been doing this for so long.
I'm with you, Kimmy, on that 1000%. Okay, I'm an anomaly. I'm just saying, I'm just one of the guys. I'm an anomaly. It's like,
you think it's story?
What's that?
You think in story?
Do I think in story?
Yeah.
No, like, I just think. No, I'm saying I'm not. You just said I don't. What did you say about guys? We're just very
Simple in a simple. In like an amazing way.
Right.
Like, I always say, like, women, if we could just be more like you guys.
Yeah, I'm a pretty complicated guy, man. I tell you, because there's things that I want to know, and I don't talk in story, but I just know what I want. And so I guess if it's asking for what I want in order to move it along faster, so I don't have to go 4 months and go, that was a waste of my time. You know?
But see, that's direct. Like, that's a guy. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Women do not do that. We guess instead of just ask.
But I have to disagree with that on some point in time, because and just a small part of that, because think about it.
You can disagree with me, by the way.
I disagree with you. God damn it. No, but seriously, guys, what I always say, guys have, they start off with the story. And think about this, and here's the way it is. Guys start with a story because it's a protection. Hey, you know what? When you start dating, you know, I work a lot, or I have kids, or I have something. That way, as it goes down the road 3-4 months now, and all of a sudden you're like, why isn't this progressing forward now? I mean, well, he says he's working a lot or blah, blah. He's making up fucking excuses. So I say that the simplicity that you're talking about are just excuses. And every guy plants an excuse as a failsafe at the beginning.
I actually agree with you.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? I actually think we're saying the same thing, but in a different way, because what I was referring to, and it was funny because when I was in the show, Great Love Debate, Brian Howie, if you're listening to this, he has a great podcast too, by the way. And we would do these shows and we would go into the audience and we would ask town hall style, like,
love
different
that.
Questions, you know, about dating and whatnot. And I was co-hosting at the time, and there was a question about, like, so when you're on a first date, you know, and I asked the women and then I asked the men, you know, how many men in here are thinking on the first date, past that first date, like thinking in stories, like what's going to happen and blah, blah, blah. So, like, you do, but most men did not raise their hand.
I know.
Right.
I know.
I'm just saying, like, it was interesting. And
then
all the women
that.
Raised their hand because we think of the story.
I do.
The
fairy tale. And that's why that's why I decided to join this space for me finally after 3 years ago. It's like, I felt like I wanted my voice to finally be heard in this instance where I want to help guys, you know, once again, be their true authentic selves. I want to let go of the ego and be true, because it's like, I feel like they have a story. They're just afraid to see where that is, because they're looking to see if this person that they're in front of, if she's really the right one, because there's always going to be someone better, you know? So, for me, it's like when I'm sitting with you on a very first date, I already have a story in my mind going, okay, is this person someone I want to be with in the future? And I've said before on my show, it's like, if it's like, I'm, you know, I guess call me a woman in that way. But it's like, I know right away, it's like, you know what? It's not even a point of messing around with you this night, even though it's like, right. or going further, because I don't want to lead you on. I don't want to hurt you, mm-hmm. but I need someone who's going to be that person. And once I find that person, it's go time for me. Like I will, it's like, you know,
but don't you think guys, correct me if I'm wrong, because I hear this too, is that, I mean, they might think of whether or not that person is for them, but they think about first the attraction piece.
Of course.
Like, do no, I and feel that's
1,000%. I get that
that's
as well.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, they're not thinking about like, oh, what would it be like to like clean the house?
No, and I, and that's a different story. Sorry. I didn't know we were talking about that kind of story. How many babies can I have for him?
But seriously, you know? This is how women will go that far.
Is he going to make me work? Because I want to work, you know?
I mean, like, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. This was where I feel like you guys have it right.
Right.
That the men are just a little more realistic, a little more present. And I tell women this. I said, just see if you like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, be in the moment.
Be in the moment.
So we agree with that 1,000%. That's what I'm hearing
We got there. Yeah. Somehow we circled around.
Sometimes, see what I do?
And then we just got
But you
there.
See how far along I go with my story? Because I have a story and I go, ooh, it's like, because it's like, I know where it all goes at some point in time.
Right.
So I do look
apart. But we met in the same story.
We do. It's a great story. Great story, Kim. I'm going to give you a high five right
high
now.
Five.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. This is great. All right. So let's talk about it. So after 3 to 5 months, now you're in it. Now you're committed. Now
you're
we're like,
it.
You know what? 6 months. Let's go.
Yeah. And then there's at some point, there's a conversation about being in a committed relationship. Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of the relationship phase. But even in that phase, do not let your guard down.
And a lot of people do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Keep it fresh. Keep it fun. Keep it flirty. But also it's a really interesting time where you can deepen the conversations and really get to know each other in a whole new way.
Right.
There's pitfalls in each stage, right? And then, but there's also like amazing things in each stage. And it's just figuring out what is the hardest for you. Like, I worked with somebody who loved the courting phase. Yeah, like all day long, you know, that person could do it. But then when they got to the relationship phase, that's where it got really hard.
Yeah, it's a balance.
And it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. And often I find, too, like given just people's history, there's usually reasons why certain phases are more difficult than others. You know, like if maybe you've had a lot of abandonment in your life or, you know, failed relationships, the relationship phase might be extremely hard. And then you find yourself getting guarded or pushing that person away or self-sabotaging, right? And so it's really looking at your journey and what are you doing to kind of like, not fail, but finding yourself being challenged in that area.
Yeah. And I hope everyone, you know, in these situations like that, when it's because it is sometimes disheartening, it's a little sad because you get to a certain point, all of a sudden it's like that person doesn't open up about certain things because they're just, it's because they're still, they're not working on themselves, let's say. But what I always want people to know, it's like, don't ever push someone, you know, but, and just first and foremost, like one of the biggest things I say about men for women is like, just make the woman feel safe. You know, that's the first thing. And if she feels safe, you feel safe, you know, and it's like, it should be this yin and yang. It's like, you guys should be opening up all day long. So it's not easy to do.
Yeah. And then for women, you know,
I just wander.
Yeah. Your eyes wandered just
did
a little.
Twitch?
What was that?
That was a wandering eye.
I didn't know that, a wandering eye. What were you looking at?
I don't know. I was getting bored in my relationship.
Do you want to talk about it? Do
off
you
air, we'll talk
like
about it, Katie.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Yeah.
Another episode.
Yeah.
If you'll have me back.
We'll call it the wandering eye.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That'd be hilarious. Yeah.
The wandering eye. Mm. There's so many like meanings with
There's
that.
There's a ton of meanings in it. Yeah.
That's a good title for a book, actually, to The Wandering Eye.
Okay, I'm copywriting it right now. I'm trademarking it.
You're going to go on GoDaddy right now and you're going to get it.
Yes. I love this. So we're like I said, we're going to close this down a little bit in theory, but we still have a little bit of time. But what else would you like to tell my audience? Something that's just like, just give them a tip. Just one tip that works across the board, whether you're single, married, in relationship, dating, whatever it may be. Just one tip that you always, that you stand behind.
Oh my God, there's just so many. I just think the theme is always around sexy confidence.
Okay.
Like that's kind of the overarching thing. And when you're not feeling sexy and you're feeling like in a slump, maybe you've gained weight or maybe you're in a stale relationship or maybe you never learned how to date, like wherever you are in that continuum, do something that makes you feel good because it's not until you look in the mirror and you say, I got it going on, is when other people are going to too.
That's true. That's true.
And yeah. So that's why, again, like I love doing these like dating retreats and flirt workshops. And it's something that can really boost your confidence when you're feeling good about yourself. And not just, you know, and there's actually three kinds of confidence. That's mm-hmm. what's interesting. People think about confidence more in an internal way. And it coincides with the charisma quotient. It's actually you have your outer confidence, right? Like how you feel about your body and your presentation. It's also how you feel inward, right? Like the inner confidence, even resilience. I'll talk about that a lot with the inner confidence, like meaning you don't take everything as rejection.
Yeah. That's right.
Like how quick can you bounce back from that, you know, bumble person that ghosted you, you know?
Right.
At what point do you say, "Ooh, I dodged a bullet," rather than, "Oh, he doesn't like me." Yeah. You know, like it's that switch when you have that kind of solidness within. And then there's also social confidence. And by the way, you could be really high in your style and really low in your social.
No, agreed.
And if you just like, and here's a tip, is that if you rate yourself from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, mm-hmm. 1 being the lowest, on each of those, you know, kinds of areas of confidence, look at where the gap is. Like, what, look at the disparity. Like, and then the lower score, just take things that you can do, like we were talking earlier, to practice.
Just the little things, too. Sometimes it's just the little things. It's not even big. Things. But we make everything, which huge. We all do. We do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just being able to continuously exercise the muscle, continuously taking the leap of faith and the chances, you know. And quite frankly, it's funny on how someone can just do just something as simple as just one of the things I say, like, and I love the fact when you got your dress, you went right to the coffee shop. I mean, it's not like you were going somewhere big, you know, sitting at a bar by yourself, anything crazy.
No,
you went to a coffee shop.
I had to, yeah.
Coffee shops are always busy at certain times. So that's a good start, I feel like. I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like if it's body language, like we were talking about before, you know, just making that eye contact, notice who's noticing you, smiling at people, you know, standing taller, your social confidence, just going to social places and practicing conversation. I mean, that's the thing. I often teach people, just, I'm sure you do too, just like conversation tricks, you know? And again, it's different being just friendly and talking about facts, which is really the part where people really feel you.
Yeah.
So if you're getting, if you listening, like you're getting a lot of messages of, I just didn't feel anything from you, or there's that feeling piece that's missing. There's mm-hmm. probably something not happening, A, in your body language, or B, what you're saying with people that are allowing people in.
Right. And what Kimmy said, I like that to finish off with. What Kimmy said, it's like, think about this last part. Don't look at the other person rejecting you. Look and just take a, you know, a video of what happened, replay it in your mind, and just look back and think of the things what you felt you could have done better at, what you could have been stronger at, you know, because we're always going to place him, well, he just didn't like me, she didn't like me. It's like, maybe that's not true. I mean, first of all, they're sitting across from you, unless it's like a blind date, you know, in theory, you guys have matched up somehow, or you've met each other somehow. How did you get there? You know, two people just not sit at a communal table and just started, you know, hey, we're on a date.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It's like, well, actually I'm waiting for my date. So I don't know what the fuck you're doing. I'm waiting for mine. But you know what I mean though? It's like you have to, you're there for a reason. So really think about being present. This is what I always say. Be present, first of all. Like just throw out the script, like Kimmy said, be present and just be in the moment. Just enjoy the time there. And if it doesn't work out, who cares? It's like, it's practice.
And if I could just say, piggybacking off of what you said, is that it is also empowering knowing that you have control. Like, it's all about you.
Yeah.
Like, if you're blaming the town you live on or blaming them, there's no good men, no good women, like, then it'll continue to be that way.
Right.
I was talking, can I do a quick story to end it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, because this is really important.
You, Kimmy. You can do whatever you want.
I know this is your house, but
you're my co-host. You can do whatever you want. You should have told me to shut up a long time ago. I said, Chris, fuck you. I'm your co-host today.
No, I feel like we're sharing. So this woman, she started a call with, there's no good men.
Okay.
I scoured the earth. I've dated every guy in this town and there's just not one guy. You're my last hope. So I was like her last hope.
Oh,
I
mean, wow.
Right? Like, no pressure. Right. And I said, well, I believe you. She's like, what? I said, I believe that you believe.
Oh, I love that.
That there are no good men.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, how can you help me? I said, well, I'm not sure I can, because as long as you believe that, then that's your own reality. However, if you change, and I always say, change your mindset, change your approach, change your perspective, then you might see something different.
Yep.
Are you willing to give it a try? And she's like, well, you're my last hope. I have nothing to lose. I'm like, yeah, it's already shitty. Yeah, so like, you might as well try something, right?
No more ships leaving the island, honey. Yeah, you're stuck. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So she gave me her credit card and off we went. And so I said, I just want you to do one thing. I want you to leave this call. And for the next week, I want you to take the same route to work. And I just want you noticing who's noticing you. That's
okay.
All I said.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's it.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I see everybody. I know everybody. I get it. Just do that as homework and then report back to me what you see.
Okay.
So she comes back and she's like, Kimmy, do you have a voodoo doll? I said, no. What happened? She's like, I cannot believe what just happened. She's like, well, I did what you said. I took the route to work and I see this gentleman. He's sitting on the bench and he's really good looking and he was looking at me. So suddenly he's calling me over and suddenly we have a conversation.
Wow,
and
that's
Kimmy,
great.
He asked me out.
Wow.
They went on a date okay. already by the time that we had our first call. That guy ended up being her long-term boyfriend.
Oh, that's a great story.
And again, amazing. It was like we were talking about full circle in yeah. the beginning. It was just, I was the flashlight.
That's great.
She had to walk through it and really like open herself up yeah. to new possibilities.
Wow, unbelievable. That's such a great story. I love how you started that whole story at the beginning because it's like, it's true. It's like, wow, you made her really look inside herself. I appreciate that.
And it empowered her. And you listening, like it should empower you knowing that you can make some changes to get a different result.
Yeah, but you got to want to do the work,
guys.
You got to do it. All right, guys. So I have Kimmy Seltzer on our show. You're a fantastic host, honey. Thank you so much for being on my show.
So are you. You'll be online.
Oh, this will be great. Yes. Let's plug. What do you have to plug for us? Please let people know where they can find you, where you're going to be speaking next, your next retreat, whatever you want.
Oh, platform thank you. Service. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you just go to Kimmy Seltzer, and it's KimmySeltzer.com, you can see all my stuff. And all my socials, of course, are at Kimmy Seltzer. And my podcast, Charisma Quotient.
Charisma
and
Quotient.
Then I do have a dating retreat, depending on when this is aired, but I do them. I'm trying to do them twice a year now.
Okay.
But it's a co-ed dating retreat where it's a combination of a 6-week virtual course that helps people date in the second act. And we work on all these skills that
Love
we're talking
that.
About.
Yeah.
And then we culminate into a 3-day live retreat where we practice this. We do
Great.
Salsa dancing, makeovers, flirt coaching, you name it. But it really, it's an amazing experience. So if you're interested in anything, you can go to askkimmy.com, askkimmy.com.
Love it. All right, guys, you heard it first here. And you know we're in a great speakeasy as well. But please check it out. And thanks, guys, for letting us shoot out of this podcast studio of yours today. But it's a fantastic space. And also for the future, we will probably be doing some mixers with them as well. Kimmy, bring some dating people here in the House of Kokot to
that.
Actually put all this into play.
So. We need to.
Yeah. So we're going to be working on that together, you and I, okay?
Oh, are we?
Oh, yeah, we are.
Oh,
shout out
great.
To the both. Shout out to the two Philippes. Love you guys. Thank you so much. And my producer, Connor Linneruth, outside right now, he's going to jump in here and get this all undone for us. But this is a fantastic show, and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
All right, guys, you heard it. Once again, find me at FetSport and anything dating intelligence, and please check us out on all other episodes, and we are out.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.